Peter, three of them saw that glory. Jesus took Peter and the brothers, James and John, and led them up a high mountain. His appearance changed from the inside out. Right before their eyes, sunlight poured from his face. His clothes were filled with the light. Then they realized that Moses and Elijah were also there in deep conversation with him. Peter broke in. "Master, this is great moment. What would you think if I built three memorials here on the mountain? One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." While he was going on this, babbling, light radiant cloud enveloped them and sounding from the deep in the cloud voice, "This is my son, marked by love, focused on my delight. Listen to him." When the disciples heard it, they fell flat on their faces, scared to death, but Jesus came over and touched them. "Don't be afraid." When they opened their eyes and looked around, all they saw was Jesus, only Jesus. Coming down the mountain, Jesus warned them secretly, "Don't breathe a word of what you've seen. After the Son of Man is raised from the dead, you are free to talk."
Thank you, Andrew. I don't know if you got all of that, but that image is a picture of what happened on that particular day where Jesus and some of his friends, some of the disciples, were on this mountain, and Jesus was just transformed. He was just changed. And what an amazing experience that must have been for those disciples, those followers of Jesus. But you see, when that happened, they didn't actually quite get it. They didn't quite realise what was going on. It was an amazing moment, amazing experience for them to share in, but they didn't quite understand what was happening. And it said in that passage, they were scared to death. I don't know what sort of things you get scared of, but I imagine it would have been pretty scary if you'd been on this mountain and then Jesus, your friend, suddenly takes on a new appearance. And they kept looking for answers. They were thinking, you know, who is this Jesus? They're always discovering more and more things. And this was a special moment for them. Now, sometimes we don't quite get it, do we? There's things that go on that we don't quite understand. Now, how many people have who do maths at school? I guess most of you, hopefully. If you haven't got your hand up and you're at school, you may have missed something. Because I was imagining that you do maths. And I quite enjoyed maths at school to start with. And I was quite good at maths to start with. And I could do, you know, long division and adding things up and stuff like that, probability. And I did my exam, my equivalent of GCSE, a year early and got a reasonable grade. And I thought, oh, I'm quite good at maths. But then they suggested I do this subject called additional maths. And I thought, well, additional maths, I'm just adding a few more things on, it can't be all that difficult. But it included things like this, and sines and cosines and tangents and all sorts of complicated equations. And all of a sudden, my brain was scrambled. I just couldn't quite work it out. I don't know, has anyone else had that experience? Yeah, there's one or two knowing nods over there. I didn't really get what it was all about. I thought I did, but I didn't. And I think it was around that time that I was beginning to think about who Jesus was. And looking back, I realised that I didn't quite get who Jesus was when I was sort of 14, 15, growing up. I'd read stories about him. I knew all the stories about Jesus feeding the 5,000 and turning water into wine. And in the church that I was at, we had to do an exam every year, a scripture exam. And we had to memorise a little bit of scripture, and then we had to write it out, so a few verses from the Bible. And, you know, I could do that. So I knew quite a bit about Jesus, but at that stage I didn't know Jesus himself. And I needed help from other people to begin to understand who Jesus was. And I'm really grateful for those people who did help me as a 16-year-old and then going forward to discover just who Jesus was. I got a greater glimpse of God as time went by. We're going to be thinking about that through this service in different ways. But for the moment, I'm going to hand back to Joe. He's obviously a Bristol City supporter. Does anyone know what's happening on the screen? Snowdrops. There's another picture appearing in a few moments, hopefully. And this is a picture of something that happened about 15 years ago. Here we go. What's happening here? Yeah? An eclipse, that's right. It's actually a total eclipse. It doesn't happen all that often. It's when the paths of the sun and the moon cross each other, and the moon is blocking out the light from the sun. And back in 1999, I was in Austria with my wife for a few days' break, and we had the privilege of seeing the eclipse. And we were on a mountainside with lots of other people, and it was a really clear day, and we were able to watch this eclipse. And so, as the moon came across the sun, the paths, it meant it got very, very dark. And then gradually, after a period of darkness, the moon began to move across the sun, and that meant that there's a glimpse, just a glimpse of light. And we're thinking this morning at what it means to have a glimpse of light, what it means to have a glimpse of God's light in our lives, because that can happen in all sorts of different ways. And sometimes what we need to do is we need to slow down so we're able to glimpse what God is doing. Slow down and glimpse God's glory. God's glory, that's a funny sort of phrase, isn't it? But it's about all the good things of God, God's greatness and God's power and God's wonder. And I think we can glimpse those things in all sorts of different ways. One of the ways in which we can glimpse God's glory is in creation. Another picture. Does anyone know where it is to start with? Any guesses? Yeah. It's in Wales. Yeah. It's not in Scotland if it's in Wales. But what is it? Where is it? It's a view from a mountain in Wales. It's that Joe knows. He knows his Welsh geography. So there's a view from Snowdon. And I love walking up Snowdon. I haven't done it for a little while, but I love walking up Snowdon. And on a clear day, you can look down over the lakes, and it's absolutely beautiful. You can glimpse God's glory in creation. This Friday, I had an experience where I glimpsed God's glory in creation. Now, those of you who know me know that with my long legs, I tend to walk rather fast. So I'm going on a dog walk with my dog, who also walks rather fast, and sometimes runs rather fast. And I dropped my son off at school and thought I'd walk home. So that's from near the centre of town, so it's 3 or 4 miles. So there I was walking along with the dog behind me and sometimes pulling me along in front of me, like this. And I suddenly thought, actually, I'm walking along alongside the River Frome. I need to slow down, because otherwise I'm going to miss all that's going on around me. And those of you who know the River Frome know that sometimes, if you're very fortunate, you see one of these things, a kingfisher. And just after, I thought to myself, I really must slow down and enjoy this walk rather than it just being a functional thing to get from here to there. I saw this kingfisher on a branch. And then I watched it. I stopped and I watched it as it hopped from one branch to another branch along the river. And I wouldn't have seen that kingfisher if I'd just been racing along, as I often do. I needed to slow down to enable me to glimpse God's glory in creation. I think we can also see glimpse God's glory in other people. Now, there's a fine group of people about to appear on the screen. These are some of our young people and their leaders, part of the faith group. This was last May when they took part in a social action project called The Noise. They were clearing parks and helping at a community fun day. And you know, as I spend time with these guys, and as I spend time with others here as well, I'm able to glimpse something of God's glory, because God is at work in each of us in different ways. And if we slow down to talk to one another and engage with one another, we can see something of what God is doing in each of our lives. And that can really encourage us and help us to live for God. So we can see God's glory in creation, we can see God's glory in one another. We can also get a greater glimpse of God as we spend time reading his word, the Bible. We've had that little reading this morning from Matthew's Gospel, the story of what we call the Transfiguration. But if we take time to stop and read God's word, we find more about God's character, what he's like. We find out more about how he's worked in people's lives. We find out more about his plans. We find out more about how he wants us to live our lives. There's so much in there, but we need to slow down if we're going to glimpse God's glory. And then I think we can glimpse God's glory as we worship Him together, as we sing some of these songs. Some fantastic lyrics. The song we're about to sing in a minute speaks of Jesus who turned water into wine. We've sung of there being none like you. This is a picture of we're at Sea in the Park. Lots of you, lots of uniformed members were at Sea in the Park last summer, and hopefully will be again this year, June 22nd, where we worshipped together, about 500-600 people perhaps from different churches across the area. And as we worship together, we get a sense of God's presence and get a better understanding of who He is. Just a glimpse. And all of these things can help us. And there's other ways too, aren't there, in which we just know that God is with us, His presence. But we need to slow down to be able to get an understanding of that. I'm going to invite Claire up to join me now. Make sure this one's on. Looks hopeful. There we go. You'd like to have that one. Now, not all of you will know Claire, so let's just find out, first of all, a little bit about Claire, who you are and what you do.
Hi there. My name's Claire Bell, and for those of you who came to the pantomime service in January, I was a bit of a decorator, and I had a slightly different clothes on than I do today. So actually, my job is not a decorator. What I do is I work for South Gloucestershire Council, and I manage teams of people who work in children's centres, in youth centres, and working with families, children, young people who are going through difficult times. So that's my main job in South Gloucestershire.
Okay, great. So, I mean, I've talked a little bit about the need to slow down if we're going to glimpse God's glory and all He has for us. Can you give us an example as to where that's happened in your life, where you've been forced to slow down and how that's benefited you?
Okay. About 18 months or so ago, I started a course. It was through the church. It's called Transforming Work Course. And at the time, my job was extremely busy. You all know what's happening with councils and other kind of businesses at the moment. There's lots and lots of cuts going on. And my job was, at the time, to really change the way all of the services that I was working with were happening, making lots of cuts. And I also had to interview about 120 people for jobs, some of whom were not going to get jobs. So it was a really stressful time, lots and lots to do. And I wondered whether I was actually in the right place. I didn't know if, you know, God really meant to be in that place. It was hard, it was difficult decisions. But the course, so I was adding in a sense. You might wonder, what's that to do with slowing down? I was adding to something else into my life. But the course was really, really helpful. We looked at all kinds of different ways of being, having God in our lives, in our workplace. And some of the things that I did was to think about our relationships differently at work. So we took some of the ideas that we'd had from the course and started to think about how we could bring God into our workplace. So for me, adding something meant that I also had to then think about letting God into my life, letting Jesus in to my work, because usually it was so busy, rushing from one thing to another, and actually he didn't get much of a look in. But actually he can be extremely helpful and powerful in the workplace and in your own lives. And I found that he was sort of saying things like, you know, wait a minute, hold on, don't rush into the next meeting, think about pray about the meeting and so on. So he was beginning to have an impact in how I dealt with my work, how I talked to people I worked with, actually trying to listen to what was going on in the people I worked with in their lives. They had busy jobs, busy lives too. Tim Rawlings actually said something at a meeting that we were at quite recently, and he said that in his job, and he was part of this Transforming Work course, he'd said that as a manager, he was really spending much more time listening to the people in his workplace. And that really made me think about, actually, I need to spend time with the people who are doing the really hard job on the ground.
Great. So can you tell, how does that experience help you as you find yourself in the office this time tomorrow?
Okay. Well, as everyone knows, every day you're never quite sure what the next day holds. So what's really helpful now is I just think differently. God means me to work. He means me to be in that place. And so I sort of know that about letting him in, letting him sort of work through me about kind of what the next steps are, what needs to happen, and so his glory can come through in the workplace.
Great. Thank you ever so much, Claire. It's great just to hear real-life examples of how this is actually worked out. Thank you. I mentioned this song that we were going to sing, and it talks about Jesus who transforms situations. Water you turned into wine. So let's stand as we sing this one together. That's one way you can try and pray at home and just think about our hands and the way in which we can use them and ask God to help us with that. So that's one of the ways in which we can slow down and glimpse God's glory. Perhaps we can have the other slide. There we go. I wonder how else might we be able to do that? It's all very well talking about these things, but how can we actually slow down that we might find out a little bit more about God or see something more of his beauty? Well, one of the things might be to do what I did and go for a walk along the river, but to do so really slowly, really leisurely. Use our eyes to see what's going on. Use our ears to hear the sounds of the birds. Use our noses to smell. Slow walk in the country. Maybe we're coming into the season that we call Lent. It's a time of preparation for Easter, a time of reflection on our lives. Maybe during Lent we can plan to spend perhaps 5 minutes each day just in quiet, just in stillness, just thinking about our lives, bringing things that we're concerned about to God in prayer. Maybe during that Lenten time we can endeavour to read one of the Gospels, read the Bible, find out more of the stories of Jesus and all the amazing things he did and what he stood for and who he is. If you took 5 minutes each day during the period of Lent, you'd be able to read the whole of one of the Gospels, perhaps Luke's Gospel as a starting point. Or maybe during Lent there's an opportunity just to say, actually I'm going to make a real effort just to slow down and talk to people and find out a little bit more of their stories and how God is at work in their lives. There's lots of different things we can do. And the great thing is there's always more to discover of God. None of us has ever found out everything about God and got to know him in completeness. There's always more for us to discover. On the screen in a few moments is going to be some words from Ephesians chapter 3. And they're great words. They're part of a prayer that the Apostle Paul prayed for the church, the Christians, in a place called Ephesus. And we're going to read this verse together, but actually it makes sense if we've got some actions to help us to remember this verse. So in a minute I'm going to ask you to stand up and we're going to do these actions together. It's going to go something like this. I pray, so hands together, that you, arms out to everyone else, I pray that you may have power together with all the Lord's holy people, that's not just people here, but all the Lord's holy people across the world, to grasp how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is the love of Christ. In Christ, we do the hands, the nails in the hands. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Up on our tiptoes. Think we can do that? Okay, so let's all stand up as we read this together. And it's not just about reading these words, we're actually praying these words for one another. So just as Paul was praying these words for the Christians in Ephesus, so we're praying for one another in this place as we go out into the world for the rest of this week. So together we pray. I pray that you may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Amen. So during this week and during this season ahead, let's look to slow down that we might glimpse God's glory. Let's be seated. And let's just be still for a few seconds more. And I'm going to say another brief prayer, which if you agree with and feel you want to be a part of, you just need to say Amen at the end. Just have a look at those words. It's based on the reading we had from Matthew's Gospel. It's expressing a desire that we might know more of God, and saying that we're ready to discover more. So why don't we read this together? I come to the mountaintop, like the disciples did long ago. Jesus, I ask you to help me learn more about you. I am ready to discover more. Amen. Amen.